Let me just give you the elements of worldwide missions. I'm going to go ahead and include this as one of the 40 most important things, issues in the last 40 years. Worldwide missions is vital. I've talked to a lot of men involved in missions in the last several weeks, men that do it full-time, missionaries, men that are on boards. I asked them, what's going on? What have you seen in the last 40 years? I'm going to share some of that with you just quickly. In our story, there's basically, if you want to simplify the missions, and I'm like Brother Hamlin, I like simple. So when I want to understand something, I want to break it down in simple parts so I can understand it. There are elements of worldwide missions. First of all, there has to be someone to go. That's the missionary. If you don't have a missionary, then you're not going to have missions. So somebody has to go, someone to go. Number two, someone to support the person who's going to go. And I'm going to break that down for you in just a second. There's, I think, three different partnerships gathered together that help missionaries when it comes to supporting them. Number three, there's something to accomplish when they get there, and that is the Great Commission, to preach, baptize, and disciple. So they're going to preach the Word of God, win the lost, establish local churches, and through the church and the authority that God's given the church, baptize and disciple these converts. So missionaries need to be church planters. That's what they're there to accomplish. Reach, evangelize, baptize, and disciple others. And then they need to somewhere to go, a mission field. So and of course, the mission field is directed by God where He wants them. Someone to go, the missionary, someone to support the one that's going, something to accomplish, and somewhere to go. Let me talk to you about each of these elements. We always have to, in every generation, have to have people that are willing to go. I asked the men, what are you facing? What are we facing? You're there. I'm not. You got your hand on the pulse. I don't. You deal with this all the time. And they will tell you, preacher, if you get in a time capsule and go back 40 years when you established Blessed Hope Baptist Church, many, 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 many more young people were surrendering to the mission field than what we have today. Every generation has to produce missionaries. I don't believe that God's quit calling them. I think we've got young people that have quit listening. I think there's a lot of reasons that we're not, young people are not considering the mission field. I mean, not even considered, won't even open their heart to it. Some of it is selfishness. Most of it is selfishness. Some of it is materialism. They don't want to give up all of the things that they have in America, all the niceties. Some of it's just rebellion. And there's a lot of young people that are growing up and being taught and trained, and yet when they become a young men, instead of serving the Lord either in their local church and dedicating their life to Christ and making it mean something for eternity, they want to go out and shame the name of Christ and leave Bible preaching churches and go to churches that teach false doctrine and want to be patted on the back, congratulated like they're some good Christian. They're not. They're backsliders. And that's killing us. It's killing the local assemblies here. It's hurting them, and it's hurting those harvest fields that need full-time workers. Missionaries must be called of God. Young people, I'm not going to get up and try to guilt trip anybody into surrendering for anything. You have to be called of God. If you're not called of God, you won't stick if you go anyway. Missionary must be obedient to the call of God. Again, I don't think that it's God's not calling. I think the kids aren't listening, young people aren't, and they're running away from the will of God and looking for that ship going to Tarshish instead of opening their heart to what God may want them to do. Missionary must be supported by his family. What I said about Brother Hamlin's wife, I won't belabor tonight, but let me just say this. Brother Mike Lim is not on the field if Lydia decides she don't want to be on the field. And thank God for these women. Do you remember, was it Brother Fitzsimmon that brought his wife up there and had her give her testimony? And I'm going to tell you something. I hope you'd listen to that. I hope you'll listen to that. I hope you're getting this. Did you hear what Brother Hamlin said about the mother that said, I want to tell you what we're going to do? I don't know where that's gone. But listen, folks, look up here and let me help you. Stop making excuses for quitters. I'm not interested. Oh, preacher, but no, I'm sorry, I'm just not interested. Yeah, but okay, whatever. I'm going to let them hash it out before God. But if this woman can be full of cancer and go back and die where God's called her to go, then we've got a bunch of young people that seems like, you know, what's happening? Well, I'll tell you what's happening. They're not being obedient to the call, or they are being obedient to the call, but they don't stay when they get there. But we need missionaries that'll take it seriously and go. And these folks aren't trying to figure out how to get back home. They are home. When they come here, they say, the sweet family of Owens in Bulgaria, that they had the two twins that we mentioned this morning. While he was here and his wife Shannon was here, I seen her crying downstairs, his wife. So not to embarrass her, I waited and caught him and said, is there anything wrong that we could help with as your wife? And this is what he said. He said, she's homesick. She's homesick. She misses Bulgaria. She's missing the people. She's homesick. That's called selling out. That's called being called and going. Missionary's got to be supported by his family. I've seen missionary families have to come off the field because of rebellious children. I've seen them have to come off the field because of a rebellious, unsurrendered wife. Sad what's happening. So we have to have someone to go. We have to have the missionary. Hey, young person, I'm not calling you. It's God. Is God calling you? If he did, would you go? You already got your life all planned out. Don't have time to ask God what he thinks about it. You already decided what you're going to do. And there's a whole world to be reached out there. And this is exactly the type of church that God will come to and call young people out of. Exactly the kind of church. You have to be open to it. Number two, someone to support. Let me break this down. Someone's got to support these missionaries when they go. We have to start, number one, with the sending church. The sending church is the church that produces the missionary. The missionary is trained by this church, sent from this church, and answerable to the local assembly that he's sent from. We have been in past times sending churches. Brother Derek Lowen and Rebecca were their sending church. Actually, Mike and Lydia, about 5-6 years ago, approached me. I won't go into all the details, but they had to change their sending church and asked Blessed Hope Baptist Church, because of my long-term relationship with them personally, if we would be their sending church. One of the reasons we felt like we needed to get down there is because we are their sending church. What does that mean, preacher? Well, there's some accountability that's built into that, okay? We are supporting churches to many missionaries, but we're just a sending church to a few. Some other church might send the missionary, and we would choose to support them, help financially. But I put a lot of trust in that sending church and that pastor and his recommendation and his willingness to keep them accountable. Okay? Some preacher called and asked this when Brother Derek was on deputation, and he had a right to ask this. He said, if you're going to be their sending church preacher, how often will you or a responsible representative of your church go out to Montana to hands-on see the work? Well, that was a legitimate question. And when Brother Jack Gordon came back from visiting them, I said, either me or one of our deacons, and I knew because Brother Jack, being related, would go out there, we'll be out there at least once a year. But he goes out there not just to visit family, he goes out there to represent Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And we sat down and he talked to me very honestly about where they're at and some of the challenges. But you see, there needs to be some accountability there, okay? There's been people that have come and said, I want you to be our sending church. And I said, okay, these are the parameters. This is what, and you find out some people say they want to be accountable, but when they are really actually made to be accountable, they don't want to be accountable. Well, if you're not going to be accountable to this church and you're not going to be accountable to this pastor, then you go find some other church. And so some people, you know, really want to be lone rangers and do their own thing. And, you know, if you're going to spend money, I'm going to know about it. I want a financial report. I want to know what you're doing. I want to, oh, well, wait a minute. I don't want, well, then you don't want a sending church and a sending pastor, because that's our responsibility. Well, so there's the sending church. They're supporting churches. These are sister churches that help provide financial and spiritual support for the missionaries. Vast majority of our missionaries, we're a supporting church, not a sending church, but we help fund send the money. There is still accountability to us, and should be. If you're going to cash a check, you let those people know. One of the things I'm a stickler on is getting letters. And I'll cruise around there about every 2 or 3 months and just check the dates. It's not unusual for me once or twice a year to go to my office with a list of 2 or 3 missionaries and get on the phone or email and send them and say, it's been 6 months since I've received a letter. That's unacceptable. If you've lost our address or there's some problem, let me know. But if you're not writing, I want at least a bi-monthly letter. We've dropped missionaries because they won't support us. I've had two missionaries that we supported who would not send letters tell me, I'm accountable to my sending church, but I don't know what the big deal is. I'm not accountable to you. Excuse me. But if you're going to cash our checks, you're going to communicate with our congregation about what you're doing. Now, I know the sending church is the one that holds ultimate accountability, but good night. Hey, you know, if you could get somebody to send you $100 a month, and all you had to do was sit down once a month and write a letter, or once every 2 months and write a letter, I wish I'd get 100 people to do that for me. I'd write them a letter every week, you know. And you know, it's kind of crazy, this mentality that's going, again, and folks, it goes back to just a lack of gratitude and thankfulness that's in this culture and these young people. They literally, folks, we're raising a generation that has an entitlement welfare mentality. People owe, no, they don't, nobody owes you anything. If somebody gives something for you, you ought to show thankfulness, and you ought to be willing to stay in touch and be accountable to those people. And so both of those folk, you know, people that told me that, we stopped supporting them. You know, if they're not going to report, then they're not going to get funds from this church. Then there's the mission board. We have the sending church, the supporting church, and the mission board. Some of you say, preacher, how does a mission board fit into all of this? The mission board provides logistic support to the missionaries. Now, I'm going to use that as a broad term, but there's a lot of things that missions boards specialize in that it's really difficult for a sending church to do. Now, some people are sent from a sending church, and their sending church also takes on all the responsibilities of a mission board. But I'm going to tell you something that's extensive. And it takes a lot of time, a lot of effort. There's some people that say, oh, I got a Bible conviction against a mission board. Okay, well, God bless you. I think that they've been a blessing, have been a blessing. And most of our missionaries go through a mission board. And they do. They are a great help in areas because that's their focal point. That's what they do. And so they've been a big help to us. Sending church, supporting churches, missions board, someone to support these missionaries as they get ready to go. Something to accomplish. As I mentioned, they are sent to evangelize, preach the word, and that's what they did here in this story. Verse number 5, when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jew. See people saved, establish local churches, baptize, disciple, and that's what they're doing. Brother Mike's doing exactly what I would want a missionary to do. He went and he established a local church. He began to train men, train nationals, going with them. 2 years he took that man over there and trained him till he felt comfortable, and that man felt comfortable. Now this young man's doing a great job, and that's what missionaries are to do. He's doing exactly following the Bible template for success, and that's what we would hope for. Somewhere to go, the mission field. The mission field starts, by the way, folks, outside the back door of this church right here. You mean God might call me to be a missionary? Yeah, he might have you go some faraway place like Bloomfield, Indiana, and start a church, you know, or revive a church. He might have you go to Montana. Might have you go somewhere here in southern Indiana, which is in itself a mission field. I don't know what God would call you to do. He may take you to the other side of the world like he has the Himes. I mean, point at where we're at. Flip the globe over, you'll find Japan. He's about as far away from home as a guy can get, and yet came here in 1979 and raised support as a single young man. And to this day, he's exactly where God called him to be. And I appreciate Brother Himes, steadfast, faithful missionary, good investment through the years. A missionary starts outside the back door. Everybody here is to be a missionary. Everybody is. One of the things we're going to present to you a little later in the month is I want to clearly once again identify the mission fields that are available to the members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. If you're not involved in a mission field, then shame on you. The Great Commission is for you, and we're going to reestablish that and energize that and help with that. But everybody ought to be involved in reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. The mission field for a missionary is specifically assigned by God. And it's not the sending church or mission board that decides where the missionary goes. He must pray about it, and he must decide where God's calling him. And he ought to be called to that place. They're not pawns for us to move around. They are men of God that have as much a calling as this pastor does, who comes and says, God's broken my heart for this place, and that's where I need to go. And then we support and help them get there based on whether our feelings, whether they're called and dedicated and obedient to the call of God. And then the church would sanction that. The mission field is the mission is to plant a church. The mission is to preach Christ, baptize converts, and disciple believers. But the mission field is wide open. What an exciting thing. All of these different missionaries walk down that hallway. We've got missionaries coming in from Greece. Unique situation. I'll let them tell you about it. But Greece is impossible for missionaries to get into. And yet, because this man's wife has dual citizenship, they're able to get in and start a church. I'm so excited for you to meet the DeLucas. I haven't met them, talked to him several times on the phone. Seems like a good man. I pray that we'll be able to help them out. But missions fields wide open all across. Now, preacher, what have these men that you've talked to told you about the last 40 years? Well, what you would expect, if these are the elements of worldwide missions, and Satan's not stupid, wouldn't you attack the elements? Wouldn't you try to destroy the elements? If you're going to eliminate worldwide missions, you've got to break it down to see where the elements are, and you've got to attack those things. So Satan has attacked the missionaries or the potential missionaries. Fewer are surrendering to go. I want to say this, though. There are a lot of young people are going. I'm excited about it. I mean it. But not as many as what we would see 40 years ago. Fewer are staying if they do go. And as I mentioned recently, and I won't go over it, but I'm not letting these guys off the hook very easily that want to take support from churches for several years, go to a field in 7 months, 8 months, 10 months, 18 months, all of a sudden they're back and they got all these good reasons. But I'm sorry, if God's called you to do something, you just go do it. Satan attacks the missionaries that are on the field. That's why we've got to give them support. We've got to pray for them. I promise you, the Lemmas are under satanic attack. On a regular basis, they're under satanic attack. So he attacks the missionaries. And if he wants to get all you young men, just be as carnal as you can be and as wicked as you can be and get your heart full of all kinds of secret sins, because that way, you know what, you won't be interested in missions. He wants you to get you young ladies to walk around with a bad attitude and get all kinds of sin in your life and get a, you know, because then he won't have to worry about you going to the mission field. And so he goes after the young people, the potential missionaries. We need, please hear me, we need some young men to grow up through this system. And if you're not going to go somewhere else and serve God, you need to stay in this church, plug in. We're running on skeleton crews on bus ministry right now. And we need young people with energy, not just teenagers, young adults with some energy, and that'll get involved in the mission fields we have right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And but he attacks that. He wants us to be selfish. Well, Saturday's my day. I can't do that. I just want to get up at the last minute and rush around, get in the car and drive here and come home right after. I don't want to have my little life interrupted. Okay, but that's what's happening. Men shall become lovers of their own selves. That young lady that came this morning, I told Brother Val after the service, the young lady that came from Hymera with her mother. I say a young lady, adult lady. She's got some kids that's been coming to the church. And she came to Brother Hamlin while we were at the back, so moved by the message this morning, stood there weeping. She, did you notice, I don't know if you noticed, she had some accessories that we wouldn't, said she's a saved girl, sat there and told us she's a saved young lady, but she just moved. She's not where she ought to be. I'm telling you, they're out there. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, they're out there. They're out there. They're out there behind them closed doors. I pray on the way home, every house would cry out to you. I wish every unknocked door would plead, and I wish you would hear a call. Somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to go. I'm going to put the pressure on. Look right up here. If you ain't going, you ain't going to be comfortable by the end of this month. I'm turning the burners up. Okay, well, we'll go somewhere. We'll go somewhere. Okay? But you need to get busy. The average Christian family is busy doing everything in the world except what we've been called to do. And so, amen. So we're going to turn the burners up. I want you to open your heart. Stop throwing the defenses up right now. Stop catching an attitude right now. This bothers you. Now you're getting mean and bitter in your heart. That's not my problem. That's your sin problem. That's your sin problem. How come this girl come in with a lip ring and walk back, Brother Hamlin, weeping over what she heard, but I got veteran Christians with 20, 25 years salvation, and you can't bend a knee at an altar. You don't care about anything about except your sorry self. Come on, come on. I'm sorry, but I've kind of spent a week in the presence of royalty. And that shouldn't be unusual. That just because God didn't call you to go to Mexico doesn't mean that you ought to have any less dedication to reach souls as that family I just spent that time with. And so, you know what? Let's get back to what Blessed Hope Baptist Church was built on. Amen? Satan attacks missionaries. He attacks the church. He's trying to destroy the local church. Hey, are you helping your church or destroying it? Are you helping the youth group or destroying it? By the way, every parent, go home and ask your teen this so you can sort it out. But when that boy raises his hand under conviction at the youth thing and then has to come back and talk to our chaperones later that some of our boys came to him and said, what'd you raise your hand about? What do you need to talk to Brother Reiser about? You don't need to talk to him. You don't need to tell him anything. You better not tell him anything we're doing. Now, that boy has got till Wednesday with his dad to be in my office. Or you're going to be a former student of Blessed Hope Baptist Church or school. Now, you look up here, parents. How can I win this? How can we reach these teens that we're bringing in on buses? How in the world can we do this? If that kind of satanic attitude's gotten in the heart of what ought to be our core kids in this church. Moms, dads, stop making excuses for them. Okay? Those two people right back there is not the problem. I mean, I don't know what you're doing. Is this a big game we're playing here? Is this just some kind of crazy, big, silly game we're playing here? Or is this life and death, heaven and hell? That boy that got saved ought to have been surrounded by the young men in our church, congratulating him and thanking him and being willing to be there to disciple him and bring him forward. And I got some pagans. I don't even know if they're saved. Pagan young men in this church. And if you've seen what you've seen in the last 2 or 3 years and there's no fear of God in you and you think you're going to get by with that stuff and God's not going to do something about it in your life, you don't understand God. If there's a youth group that ought to be living in the fear of God right now, it ought to be our youth group. It seems like no matter how many times God reaches down, some of you just don't get it. Come on. Okay. Got a youth pastor in my office weeping. I said, what do I do, preacher? What do I do? I don't know. I don't know. You church families help me figure out what to do about this. Okay. I don't know what to do. So he goes after the churches. He tries to destroy local churches. Wants to keep everything in a turmoil in the church all the time. We don't have time. I don't have time to go out and go soul winning. I got to fix problems and warm bottles and deal with, you know, senior saints sitting around criticizing the pastor over this. Senior saints. I want to give your little opinion about what, well, I just don't think any. I just don't think. What? Destroying your church. He wants to destroy the missions program. He wants churches to get stingy. Well, we need this, and we need this, and we need this, and we need this. Oh, good night. You need to go to the mission field. We got so much, we live like kings. What are you talking about? He's trying to destroy. Listen, why do you say, preacher, tithe first, mission second? Because if we don't keep this thing strong, none of that goes on. And what we need to do is keep the home church strong and right and clean. And then, you know what? We got a chance to do something. But the devil, he'd love to destroy Blessed Hope Baptist Church. He's using some of you right now to cause problems with Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And it's not God. It's not God. It's the devil. He's using you right now. Walk around with a critical spirit, a critical attitude. No matter what we do, how hard we try, how many hours we put in, there's nothing we can do to please you. Shame on you. I mean it. It's just wicked after a while. Say, preacher, you're venting. No, I'm telling you, this is the overflow of the Holy Spirit of God and the grief that I feel at times. It's not everybody. Thank God. There's a core group here that get it and they're supportive. And because the parents get it and are supportive, the kids get it and are supportive. And there's some of you that I don't even know where you're at. You're on a whole different planet. Come on. If we're not going to have revival, then you know what? Devil's trying to destroy this church, and he'll use you to do it. And you know what? What you'll destroy is not just this church. You'll destroy a church that is supporting 56 missionaries around the world. The devil hates a church like that. And don't let him use you. Don't let him use you. Man, somebody criticize. I leave this place, somebody criticizes Blessed Hope Baptist Church, they better duck. That's the attitude I have. And that ought to be the attitude you have. Instead of sitting there going, well, yeah, you're right. Satan has tried to change God's plan. Soul winning and church planning has been replaced by social and humanitarian causes. And so a lot of the missions program money is going to support social and humanitarian causes. By the way, you got to look at that word humanitarian. When we talk about humanism, you're going to understand it. The way humanists salve their conscience is by funneling money to humanitarian causes. Well, we're not here to support humanitarian causes. We're here to get the gospel out of Jesus Christ, soul winning and church planting. And so, you know, well, here's a dentist, and so he's a missionary dentist. Well, God bless him. But I want to support a preacher. But he fixes their teeth. Well, how about getting their soul saved? Okay, and we've come up with all these crazy things. Well, that's, you know, they didn't lay hands on Paul and Barnabas and said, oh, God, help them to fix their eyes and their teeth. Amen. In Jesus' name, we're sending them out. And as a result, the mission fields remain unreached. So what's happened in the last 40 years? He's after hard after our young people, wanting to turn them into anything that they ought than other what they ought to be, because he can eliminate future missionaries. Fewer are going, fewer are listening, fewer are surrendering, and the few that go aren't staying, or many of them are not. Satan attacks the churches. He wants to get church problems going all the time. People focused on anything but a lost and dying world. And therefore, if he can destroy a church, he can destroy a missions program. Satan has tried to change God's plan. We're soul winning and church planting both here and abroad. Somehow finds itself on the back shelf, been replaced by other things. Well, as a result, mission fields remain unreached. The one thing that has not changed in 40 years, and this is one man's comment, and I love that he said it this way. He said, preacher, there's a lot of things that have changed in the last 40 years in missions. But let me tell you what hasn't changed. The need for somebody to go and reach the lost. It's still there. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that I'm stirred in my soul. I wanted to be so careful, and Lord, I'm trying. I want to. It's hard coming off, Lord, a week like we've had, and I'm trying to remember that not everyone experienced what we experienced, not everybody saw what we saw. But thank you for tenderizing my heart once again. And Lord, the honest truth is, you don't have to go to Mexico to get a tender heart. There's just as many Brendas and Jeanettes and Aarons and Marios and Ivans. There's just as many of them right here in this community, young people, families in desperate need and a mess and sin problems and just waiting for somebody to come by. Help us to go, Lord. I pray, dear Lord, as we celebrate our 40th anniversary, that we would also rediscover our heritage. Help us to understand, Lord, that there is a community here that's just as much in need of the gospel as it was when you led Robert Ross to have the first service in May of 1973. That's one thing that has not changed. Lord, may we please, dear God, get right with you. May we please, Lord, focus once again on what's important. May we get to the point where when we hear messages we heard this morning, Lord, we'd have a broken heart. Now, Lord, whatever sin has come into our life, whatever sin has come into our life that's dimmed that in our mind and our hearts, Lord, I pray that we'd repent of that sin. Help us to get right. Lord, I pray for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, I feel like the next 10 years ought to and should be the greatest years. There's a part of me that fears what's going to happen if we don't have a generation start getting it. Lord, I don't want to preside over the slow, cancerous death of a church that at one time was busy and buzzing about the will of God. Now it seems like all they're doing is too many, Lord, busy and buzzing about every carnal, silly thing and under the sun. May we fall under conviction, God. I pray for teenagers, Lord.
go down and can sit there in a spirit and an atmosphere of revival and listen to four messages. Brother Charlie Clark, good friend. I know he poured his heart out. I don't have to ask about it. I know the church was praying. I don't have to ask about that. And yet purpose, corporately purpose, not to bend a knee, not to make a decision, not to budge. God, I don't know what it's going to take, but I pray, Lord, that you'd be merciful, number one. I pray also, Lord, that you get a hold of the hearts of some of the young men and young lady in this church. Lord, get a hold of their parents' heart. Some parents are trying, and they're brokenhearted with their pastor. Others are contributing to the problem they need to get right. Lord, please. I pray, Lord, for revival. I pray that you'd do something in our midst, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, please. Use this time and in this month, Lord, in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name.